Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
First time hosting, I think next week you're going to get you preaching or someone's going to get you preaching, mate. That was awesome. I love that. So proud of you. Seeing you and Kev. Kim was one of the very first people when we planted, going on 7 years this year, that walked through the doors, and I just can't express just how proud I am of you to see how much you've grown in your walk with God, in confidence, as a leader, as a person, to see you and seeing Kev. I say every time I see Kevin up there on worship, I think that's what David would have looked like when he worshiped. And just your family, just want to honour you guys. Hey, let's put our hands together. Now, I didn't preach last week, so I didn't use this joke. I'm going to use it today because you know what? It's still technically New Year's. Happy New Year. I haven't seen most of you since last year. Ba-dum-bum-bish. All right, I've got that out of the way. We can get into the Word. You know, I'm excited about this year. For me, one of the things that I'm always hopeful about is the next generation, what God is doing. What we do today is not for us, it's for the generations to come. We reap in the blessings of it, we grow in the blessings of it, but it's for the generations to come. And on Friday, I had the incredible privilege of having Pierre. I want to get you to stand up, Pierre. You got some pretty cool shoes on today. Turn around, give everyone a wave. This is Pierre. Pierre is our youth leader, our youth pastor this year. Yeah, come on. You can sit down, bro. And I was going to get up and interview ad hoc. No, I wasn't. What I love about what God is doing through this young man is hearing the vision of what God has put in his heart for our young people. This is a man not just of knowledge, but of substance. This is a man that even over the school holidays is actually out of his own time, taking some of our young and older youth out to just spend time with them and do life with them. And you know, what we can do as a church is pray. Yes, pray for Pierre. Pray for our youth this year. What is on God's heart for youth this year is significant. But can we be praying for more volunteers? One of the first things that he said, again, is one of the things that I would love to see is a team. Because see, in the kingdom of God, we're a family, we're a body. There's no lone rangers. And at the moment, it's just Pierre and Pierre. So just praying that, you know, if you've got a heart for youth, that's a soft spot, you know, for me, background as a youth worker, but I'm now seen as that old guy when I sit with the young people. I look at my niece over there and, you know, I can't really, you know, I'm not going to say any of those acronyms and stuff. I said one acronym once and apparently what it meant in my generation doesn't mean that anymore. So I'm just going to keep my mouth quiet on that one. But just praying for a team and another leader as well. Again, just if God has put something on your heart this year to step up into that area, what privilege, and what better privilege than to sow into the generation of tomorrow. So I want to just honour you, Pierre. You know, last week, and my beautiful wife, bring a word about training for godliness. What a way to start 2025, training for godliness. And the little task that was given wasn't, okay, what's my New Year's resolution? No, it's what's that one thing that I'm going to be intentional about to pursue godliness? See, we've got to understand that a relationship with God is not meant to be a passive one where we just stay in the same spot, but God grows us, moves us, transitions us, and moves us forward. And so, you know, as we go into 2025, what are you praying for this year? What does 2025 look like for you? What are you believing for? See, for some of us, it's a call to step up. For others, it's a call to step out. In fact, you know, I'm glad that we changed the service time because this incredible man made me really hungry for the presence of God, but presence for a good steak as well. Pastor Roo, come on up. Can we put our hands together, Pastor Roo? Don't worry, I'm going to get to my word very, very soon. And I'll keep this one short because in weeks to come. See, for Roo, 2025 is a year to step out. You know, Roo has been part of my life now going on 11 years. Who would have thought that the man in the bright salmon jumper that opened the door for me on my first day on staff would end up being one of my bestest friends in the whole world. We've been journeying for the last few years, and in 2023, he felt this prompt. And see, you got to understand that when transitions come, it's not always because of chaos, trauma, and breakdown. Sometimes even trees that bear fruit need pruning. And so we sat on that and tried to rebuke if that was the word of the Lord, but the word just grew stronger and stronger. And so it's with great joy for the next season, but with great heartache for us as a church to announce that Pastor Roo will be actually transitioning out, not only of his role as prophetic pillar, but out of Pneuma West in February. Everyone go, oh. And so we decided, I'm not going to get too much into it today because in a month we will honor and that's where all the tears and tissues will come out. But we decided today because in 2 weeks he'll be preaching his final message with us. And I felt it was fitting to announce it today as opposed to go, okay, now preach, bro. And so make sure over the next month you give this man a hug. For those that have been around long enough, you would have been the recipient of a word that God puts on Roo's heart. And it's always been a word in season and God's timing. And so we're going to just make sure that you heard today. He's a man of not simple taste, quite fine taste. Wagyu steak, marble nine, I think you said. But we just want to honor you, bro. And so can we just put our hands together and we'll let him sit down so he doesn't have to stand up here. All right, well, you can go and see. He's like, can I sit down? You can. Huh? I know. I got this girl. It's all right. So I'm just telling me, don't forget this part. It's all in process. I'm a man in a process. So that has, you know, a prophetic pillar. And so, again, one of the things that we value as a church is that making disciples isn't optional. See, often what happens is where God prompts one thing, he starts working another. And so the natural question when we start going on a journey with people is, okay, well, who's next? Who's got God's heart for the people, but who's on God's radar to lead? And, you know, for us, we've gone on a journey with this couple and they're on, not running away, they're on holidays today. And I'm pleased to announce we've got George and Becky Kassa who are going to step into the role of prophetic pillar. So they're going to be overseeing things of worship. You know, we've got our incredible worship pastors. They'll be, you know, reporting to George and Becky in prayer and just cultivating that culture already of what God is doing. So when you see them around, make sure you congratulate them as well. Is that cool? Yeah. See, like I mentioned, change is not just in hard seasons. Change is not just, you know what, I don't like this, so I'm going to go there. You know, the reality is, as a pastor, one of the worst seasons to transition is when people actually transition on a good note because it's a God calling. But John 15:2 says, branches that bear fruit are also pruned. See, we are entrusted with seasons. You know, I've preached over the last couple of months when we talk about the parable of the talents. The master, the creator, the almighty father entrusts us with things and works through us in seasons to steward what we're given. So as we go into 2025, church, what will you do with the season that's entrusted to you? And so today I want to speak on the topic of preparing for the unknown. See, I love the way that God's word works. I've preached variations of this message at least 5 times over the last 7 years in the location. And every time when I get into the Word of God, see, if you're an up-and-coming preacher or you're someone that wants to preach, it's not about being clever. What's the right thing that I can say? It's what's the God thing that I can say. And sometimes he'll give you a scripture and say, I want you to go back to that. But that's already on the podcast. But as you start to prepare, you see that God reveals new layers of his Word. See, his word is a living word. And so for us, I want to speak into this topic again and go back to the scripture that's been so synonymous with this season and with this topic. And that's Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And as you open it, I'm just going to pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that your word is a living word. Lord, that your word is relevant yesterday, today, and forevermore, Lord. That your word speaks life, not condemnation, Lord. That your word, Lord, inspires in us to draw closer to you and tells us who we are, Lord. Even when we think of what we're not, your word tells us who we are, Lord. We are your sons and daughters, Lord. And so I pray, Father, that as we speak today, Lord, may it be your words through me, Lord. May it be your thoughts through me, Lord, that would be like seeds in people's lives, Father, that they will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So Joshua 3, verses 1 to 5 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites burying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, one of the things that stands out to me when I read this scripture is that in every season, faith, trust, and proximity are essential. In every single season, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, it's important that we have faith, that we have trust, and that we have proximity with God. And so the question would be that we want to unpack today is how do we prepare for what God is doing? You know, sometimes, you know, we want to see the image that has the line word for word, what my plans are going to be between now and the time that I get to go home to the Lord. But the reality is it kind of is like a hide and seek situation. Hide in your secret place and seek the presence of God and there you will find it. And so last week we heard about the importance of training for godliness. See, verse 5 gives us insight into that part of godliness that involves sanctifying yourself. Such a very, very proper word that can bring intimidation and worry. But what sanctify means is to make yourself holy, to set yourself apart as sacred. See, when you're created in the image of God. You're not the sum of the greatest mistakes that you've made. You actually are son and daughter of the Most High God, created in His image. So God calls us to set ourselves apart to who He says we are, not what we think we're not. Does that make sense? So when we sanctify ourselves holy, we allow God to take us into the unknown. Now, this scripture is prophetic, both individually and corporately. There are key lessons from Joshua and the people and practical applications for us in this season as we pursue and prepare for the unknown of what God is going to do for our church, but in your life. But first, it's very important to understand the context. See, Israel was on the precipice of something new. They sat on this precipice of the unknown. They had gone from a generation of slavery under the Egyptian where it didn't matter what their gift, grace, dreams, or talents were. They were slaves. They found themselves in the wilderness. Now, a people set free without an identity but with a God who provided everything for them. And now they found themselves on the precipice of a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey where they would find their identity as a nation set apart by God. And like I said before, you know, what I love about the way that God works is that, you know, we can sit hours preparing for a message, but in a moment of time, God can reveal something to you that's relevant to the moment. And during worship, I really felt the Holy Spirit say that we can talk about these stories and we may not be able to relate because, you know what, these people are from thousands of years ago, but there are no difference to the people here to some of the people in this room today. There are some that are still in the bondages of slavery. You're the sum of what I did, or I don't think that I'm worth anything because I did this, I said this, I thought this, I acted this way, and we get stuck in the slavery mindset. Then, again, thank you, Lord, but might come across as a little bit harsh, but where majority sit are those that are in the wilderness. We just wait for God to provide everything, but we won't move. We have no identity, we're nomadic, we sit passive. But God wants to take us to the promised land. See, the difference between the promised land and the wilderness was, yes, God provided everything in the wilderness, but He didn't provide them a home. In the promised land, He gave them everything, but they needed to work for it. See, the moment that they crossed the river, the moment they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, the manna from heaven, the quail, it all stopped. See, many of us, we're all created in the Imago Dei that God's blessing flows through our work. Even if it's in the church or not, you might feel like what you do doesn't change anything, but God has sent you to the very corners of this earth and given you a craft and a gift, a blessing from God to work through, to bring people, to bring heaven on earth. That's why I loved what Kim said. You know, we don't sit down and go, these one I want to preach, what are you going to say? But I love that thought. God says a window, and that's going to bless a whole community. What happens if it was a door? And so for some of us, we wait and see, God bless me, then I'll move. But what happens is that when we're believers in the wilderness, we become fickle. Think about what happened to the people. What should have probably been a 40-day journey became a 40-year journey because people became dependent on God, just give me and I won't do anything for it, and became entitled as opposed to became blessed and graced out of the privilege of being the children of God. It's gotten quiet a bit here. Go on. Be off soon, I promise. No. But we read this scripture. Every year, God, every season, God has shown new layers. In their season of slavery, God heard their cries. In the season of wilderness, he led them by pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and he gave them their sustenance. And each was building onto a building block of what was to come. He had shown new layers, signs and wonders, but there was more. A promised land. Each season in your life, whether it be good or bad, is a building block for the next. And so the instructions were clear. Follow the presence of God. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself as what you actually are. Not pretend to be what you're not. It's to set yourself apart for who he says you are. Set yourself as holy and sacred before him, because they were going somewhere they've never been before. The old way of thinking is redundant. God is not one-dimensional. And if we're not careful, we can walk in our walk with God, walking ahead, but looking backwards. But God, you did this like this last time. Therefore, the formula is if I pray and fast for 8 hours a day, for 5 days a week, you'll provide me the job that I need. So we limit God in a box. And when it doesn't happen, it becomes like a, God, why didn't you provide for me? I'm going to walk away. But God's saying, look at me. Seek me. Seek me. Don't look at what I've done. Look at me. Because he's not one-dimensional. You know, it was cool. The worship list today, to be able to hear that, you know, again, sing that song, Christ is enough for me. I think the last time I sang that song was one of those moments in my life. 2014, 11 years ago, I had just come back. We'd lost our baby a few months before, and I didn't want to be on staff. That was my first year on staff. I didn't want to be on staff anymore because similar to that, I had looked at all these formulas. But God, I laid down my career for you. But God, I went to every prayer meeting. But God, I was at every service, and you took away what I wanted the most. But it was that line in the sand moment. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I have decided to make Jesus my focal point, not my disappointments, not my hopes, not my dreams. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. I almost said it the other way around, got myself in trouble. There are just some times where the unknown is the unknown, but the focal point is known, and that's Jesus. That's the presence of God. And I don't care what that looks like, but your word says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. And so what we read here, what I love about this season is that there are key takeaways, even in this story, that are so relevant to where we're at in our lives. The very first one is that early in the morning, they set out. Verse one. See, we got to understand that God should be our first response, not our backup plan. Now here, yes, it literally meant they got up early and they went. And the thunder came, and the thunder of the Lord came, hallelujah. But it's not about the hour per se. Because you might be, for those that aren't morning people, you're thinking, I ain't getting the blessing of God. No, it's about the posture of priority. It's the posture of the priority. Is God's direction first, or is the rest first, and then God, you bless what I do? You know, we often hear about the buy now, pay later phenomenon. There's one that we do it. I've done it many times in my walk with God where I act now and I pray later. Lord, please bless them, but I'm already here, Lord, bless them, please. And I become like a child, please. And then I come back and I'm like, yep, I got that wrong. Do we go to God first, or do we line the ducks up and say, when this happens and that happens and this happens, if that happens, and if it happens like this at this variable at this time, then you know what? I'll read my Bible once a day. See, this is a personal approach. It starts with prayer. It starts with devotion. It starts in that quiet place. And often, more often than not, it's actually not about God, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's just God, I'm listening. I'm listening, God. I love that Jesus exemplifies this. Mark 1:35, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to a solitary place to pray. The Son of God communing with Father every single day. And what I love is that we can often look for an outcome to be perfect. And if it doesn't look the way we think it should perfectly, then we can sort of pout. But let's be honest, if we were running leadership workshops, a lot of the people in this day and age probably wouldn't invite Jesus because he spent all night praying and he came up with those 12 disciples. One that stole the money and betrayed him. The other guys that abandoned him. But yet there's something in that, isn't it? That Jesus spent all night praying, and that's the 12 that he approached. I feel that's a word for someone today. Don't make yourself perfect before you encounter God. Perfect God already sees you in your imperfection. Our exchange with God is essential. What does this look like in your life? Jesus again speaking, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The key thing there is hearing his voice and knowing him. God wants to know you. He wants to do life with you. He wants to be there with you, not just in the church service on a Sunday morning, but he wants to be in every part of your life, even the mundane things. He wants to be in your life. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we prepared earlier. Actually, on a funny note, this morning was a bit of an interesting morning. There is a call on Dave Rout's life. Do you know that I almost didn't preach today? The pulpit was almost hijacked by not someone else, but something else. So as Dave was preparing these guys to set up in through rehearsal, he felt what was the presence of Lord of the Lord on his leg, but was actually a pigtail possum in our auditorium. Caught the anointing of God of Dave's leg and came straight to the pulpit. There's video footage of this. And they did what, they prayed for it and they let it out via the pulpit. So if you need prayer and you're a possum, go see Dave. I told him I got his permission to tell that story. But anyway, back. Hey, we can have fun in church, right? Bit of a laugh. See, the point that I'm making here about it starts in the morning is that it's not a formula. Do you know that you could pray 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, but still not hear from God? Because it's a posture of your heart. You know, he talks about that in Matthew 6, where he talks about how we pray. Don't pray like the Pharisees do, that they just, their to-do list and the sort of, you're good God, now give me, and thank God I'm not like that. God wants intimacy, quality, not quantity. I hope that set someone free today. But the reality is, it's not a formula, but it does require action. A good friend of mine used to always say, Dave, nothing changes if nothing changes. It used to frustrate me. But then I'm like, that's spot on. That's right, nothing changes, nothing changes. Often we can be stuck and dissatisfied with where we are, but we're not willing to step out. Maybe 2025 is the year that you strike while the iron's hot. You know, have some of the fresh bread before the distractions of the day set in. Make God the focal point. Start early. So praying, devoting, and fasting intensifies the need to make God the center of our lives. It eliminates our own desires and priorities and allows God to impart in us so that he can flow through us. Starting with him is vital, but the second step is equally as important. And so if the first step is to start early in the morning, the second point is go when and where God leads. Verse 2, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They waited 3 days. We want it now. For those that remember the old original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I haven't watched that Johnny Depp one because it's pretty creepy. You remember that girl, I want an Oompa Loompa now. I remember saying that to my parents, get an Oompa Loompa. Okay, that backfired. Trying to be funny, I didn't know what an Oompa Loompa was. But we're like that girl. Lord, I prayed this morning for my life partner. Why hasn't he or she knocked on the door and already said, hey, I'm here to marry you? Lord, I applied for that job 2 minutes ago. Why haven't they called me? Haven't been interviewed and haven't got the job yet. I wanted it now. That's me. I'm just sort of living my life through there. The Lord answered, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I had to wait, but thank you, Lord. God's timing is impeccable. So it's very important that as you start early and understanding the will of God and understanding how to hear his voice, you can tell the difference when God is saying go, when God is saying no, and when God is saying slow. And let me say that again. The more you take time, you're able to see, and I love the message version that you read on communion about the rhythms of grace. The rhythms of grace. And again, it's not about the formula. The important thing to understand is that as you draw closer to God, you understand when he's saying go, when he's saying no, and when he's saying slow. You know, I think about my life many years where there are times, and if we're honest, last year probably was one of those times where the emotion in me bubbled over and it's like, you know what? I better just make a decision emotionally. But the Lord is saying, not now, my son. But God, oh. No, trust me. See, verse 3 and 4, when they commanded the people, they gave them the instructions of following God. But it's all in verse 4 where it says, do not come near it that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. What brings you here won't necessarily get you there. For the people in the wilderness, they were a transient people that had everything given to them, transitioning into a place where the land was provided to them, but they had to work for it. So they could have gone in there with the wilderness mindset and just sat there and watched this beautiful land waste away because they're waiting for God. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there we go again. The people needed to focus because God was leading them into the unknown. You know, you might think about, again, how you've gotten here. For some, you know, it goes on both sides. On one side, my life is always going to be this way. My life is just going to be bad. And so we live with that mindset. So it's like, well, that's what's gotten me here now. Self-preservation and all this has gotten me here now. So I'll keep doing that. For others, and it's equally as challenging, is the good old days. I just want it to be like the good old days. But then the Lord's like, hey, there are great days ahead. Seek me. And if we're not careful, we could miss it. Let's not fill in the blanks. See, part of preparation does involve reflecting on what God has done and what God is doing. What is he preparing you for? You know, I got this beautiful picture recently as I was reflecting, you know, turning 21 this year. It's a long life that I've lived. I remember I said that once and the person actually thought I was 21. Bless that person. I'm actually turning 40 this year, right? And I think of every year, I got this picture. And as a kid, I used to love at school when you used to do join the dots. And so I often like to reflect on that. And I think, wow, every year just looks like these random lines. But I was taken back to my very first job out of school, which was telemarketing. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. Actually, no, it still is. I get random numbers call me all the time. I was the guy in 2003 that would call you up at dinner time and you'd be like, I'm not interested. And I go, that's exactly why I'm calling you. And I would get a couple of non-blessed words and they'd hang up on me. And I would sit there and I would work 43 hours a week for $450 a week because it was commission-based. And even though I was one of the top performers, it still wasn't enough to do anything. But I remember it as, I hate this job. What is it going to do for me in my life? It will never get me anywhere. And then one day I call up, you know, we'd call up WA. So we'd work till 11 p.m. because of the 3-hour difference in WA in summer. And I remember calling this old lady. And she, poor woman, hadn't had family reach out to her in months. So I didn't actually call her to sell her anything. It's what the Lord say. Just talk to her. So every Friday night, I'd make sure I'd get the sales that I needed. And at 10 p.m., I would go and sit down and I'd call this woman. I would talk to her for an hour. Tell me about your life. Tell me. And God just started breaking my heart for people. Then I left that job because, like I said, it was quite traumatic. I need counseling for it. And I went even worse. I did collections. I was the guy that said, I'm sorry you can't pay that car. We're going to have to repossess it. I was that guy. I know. The Lord forgave me. I repented. I felt horrible. Although some, anyway, I won't go into that. And again, I'm just copping abuse. What is this going to get me in life, Lord? Fast forward a few years later, I found myself in a precarious situation as a youth worker with a guy who had his hand behind his back. He had done time for stabbing someone before. And I had positioned myself, again, if you're starting to be a youth worker or anything like this, your surroundings are important. My heart to want to connect with people put myself in a compromising situation where he was between the only exit and me. I know, I learned. Basically, I couldn't give him what he wanted. It's like, you know, I could stab you right now. And all that training came back in that moment. negotiation skills. I know that he wasn't yelling at me per se, but the decision behind what we had to do, the organization, which I didn't throw under the bus. I took, hey, this is what you did. But the beautiful thing was being able to converse. We'll call him Bruno because that's always our example. We talk about him in this place. For those that don't get that reference, all good. He kept saying things like, hey, I want to be a good guy. I said, I know you're a good guy. So if you do something like that, yeah, you might hurt me. But then you're going against what I know that you are. You're a good guy. And after an hour and a half, he didn't hurt me. And I reflected back on that dot moment. Then fast forward to being here on staff, dealing with some of the crises that we had to go through in youth work. I'm like, oh, Lord, what's all that going to help me in this season? Then COVID hits. How fun was COVID, everyone? And then last year hits. Every year, the Lord adds layers of things that didn't seem relevant in the time that in its due time, the Lord reveals. Yeah. And so, I don't know what your season is, but you're not called to be in this season forever. Each season is prepared for the next. Some of you have come out of slavery. You're in the wilderness and God is providing. But there is more. There are things that God will rise. We're going to unpack that in a second. One of the key scriptures that helped me during this time was Jeremiah 33:2-3. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. Key line, you do not know. That was a verse that just over 11 years ago, the Lord gave me when I was contemplating whether I would step out and lay down what I had studied for. To come and serve in ministry. Stop and seek. What is God speaking to you? See, allowing God to lead us does require full trust. In order to go somewhere that you have never been before, and this is my final point, you need to relinquish the need to know in order to allow God to show. Let me say that again. You need to relinquish the need to know in order to allow God to show. Verse 5. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. The people had to let go of the past. The good and the bad. They had to trust that God had better for them. You know, one of the things that many of us, I know for me, I've struggled with this a lot in my life, is the whole idea of forgiveness. There are things and people in my life, even as recent as last year, if I can be transparent with you guys as my covenant family, there are some things even last year that took place that I had to wrestle with in the whole idea of forgiveness and hurt. But what I love about the grace of the cross and what Jesus did, he doesn't hold your greatest sin against you. He doesn't. He doesn't hold that against you. And I remember, you know, often we hear the world talk about forgiveness is forgive and forget. Now, unless we're one of those, you know, magic doodles that you can just flash off and then the next day it's gone, which I don't think any of us are. Maybe the ringtail opossum was. Maybe he's gone. And who knows? I hope he wasn't fried by the lightning. But anyway, lunch, anyone? Okay, horrible, 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 guys. I go there. I'm with family. The reality is, it's not easy to forget. And it's not about forgetting. I heard it once said, Shane Willard explained it so brilliantly, that forgiveness, if you put it in the picture of a debt, it's like, you know, and the parable talks about the wicked servant about that. You've got this list of debt that you can't pay. What forgiveness is saying, paid in full, it's crossed out. You don't owe anything to that anymore, which is why Jesus doesn't bring out your worst sin. The devil does, but you show him this debt's been paid. So maybe for some of us this year, the heart is actually about as well those bad things. I feel these are a word for someone today. Because often what can happen is, if God doesn't expect perfection from us, we shouldn't of ourselves and we shouldn't of each other. There is accountability, there is consequence, but someone can't grow if you're constantly telling them what they've done. That God doesn't do that to you. That's a word for myself, if I'm honest with you guys. See, they had to relinquish the need to know because they hadn't been this way before. These guys were in slavery. They didn't know how to live free. If you think about that, you know, for many of them, they got used to the wilderness. They didn't know what it was like to work. They knew how it was like to be forced to do things that they had to do. But now they're in this place where it's like, what, this promised land? Which is why it was important for them to follow God's instruction. Because they had no bearing. Many of us don't have a bearing. I don't have a bearing on many things of that what God is doing. There's questions that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, you know, God, I don't understand. Can't wait for that moment, but enjoy it while I'm here still. But in loving reverence, we trust in God's providence. They needed to sanctify. They needed to set themselves apart. See, when we sanctify, or another word for it is consecrate. When we consecrate, God demonstrates. He demonstrates and allows us to go into what he has for us. How can you know if you've never been before? How can you know if you've never walked down that road before? There's I love watching a lot of docos, some really random ones, which I won't promote from the pulpit, but I love my sports docos, right? And I remember we've all heard of LeBron James, who's playing basketball really well at 40, much like myself when I play basketball. Just I've never been discovered. But I remember we watched a doco of when he was in high school. So he would have been like, what, 15, 16, right? And in the coach's room, they had one thing on there. And I still remember, we watched this like 10 years ago. And the one slogan that said, to get what you've never had, you need to be willing to do something you've never done. At 15. So you wonder why at 40 you're still breaking all these records. To get something you've never had, you need to be willing to do something you've never done. Something that I had to learn this last year is surrender. I thought I had done it. If I'm honest, I thought I had surrendered. I mean, I surrendered a career. I hadn't seen anything yet. So to get to where I've never been before, where am I going? I don't know. God knows. You know, he's the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. So I seek him. We seek him. And he allows us to go. I'm going to invite the band to come up. What is God stirring in your heart this season? What is God breaking your heart for? Or is God asking you to just do the same thing? Keep going. I haven't seen results yet, God. Just trust me. I'm in the results business. I created everything. So it's a matter of not looking at what, you know, I'm going to pick on Rue for example. Not looking at, okay, well, Rue, I'm going to step out and do what Rue's doing. No, that's Rue's conviction. What's yours? What's your conviction? What's God stirring in your heart? How do you come in the morning and go, okay, Lord, I don't know, and it's okay not to know. Lord, I don't know my purpose. Show it. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm listening, Lord. And allowing him to speak. See, one thing, and I've preached on this a few times over the last few months, you know, God is about the stewardship. He has given us something, not a service on a Sunday, but he has given us something. And if there's anything that 2024 has taught me, and we were having conversation with a few pastor friends of ours from different churches, if there's one thing that I feel that is very important is that we can't do church the same way anymore. It can't be this way anymore. Where we just leave it for a Sunday and let someone entertain us. I said this a few months ago. God is getting rid of celebrity. And again, I said it then, I say it again. I know how to enunciate very well. In fact, someone at a wedding said to me very seriously, and I'm like, oh no, because it was his daughter that I had married with a husband. Like, did I get something wrong? Did I say his name wrong? You, sir, you're a good enunciator. And he walked off. I know it's celebrity. But we've created the culture of celebrity. I need that person, that man, that woman to pray for me, because if they don't pray for me, God's not going to touch my life. I haven't received a prophetic word from that prophet. God mustn't be proud of me. These are things that I've heard, things that at times I've even thought. But the reason why church cannot be the same is because you are the church. This isn't the church. You are the church. So as the hands, the feet, whether Numa is home or not, Lord, I don't have much, but I have my yes. You know, I shared this a few months ago. I remember at conference, this year, on the very last day of conference, I'll never forget it, during worship, it wasn't even anything that was happening. I'm just there in worship, and I hear this sweet, soft voice. "My son, do I still have your yes?" And I'm like, I start crying. Again, we read before, you know, in John, that the sheep know his voice. He knows them. So I knew straight away, and I broke down crying. "You've got my yes." 4 minutes, 5 minutes later, "But my son, do I still have your yes?" "God, you've got it all." You gotta understand, my mind was racing a million different miles, still processing what was going on. And then the third time, "My son, but do I still have your yes?" "God, you've got it all." And I believe what he spoke to me that day is for all of us. When you give me your yes, you have all of mine, and everything's gonna be okay. See, key takeaways in the last 2 minutes. Seek God first in your own context. Don't desire or don't be put off by this. "I can't be a preacher, so therefore God doesn't have anything for me." Or, "I just want to be the preacher." Wherever you sit on that, there's one thing that 2024 has taught me into 2025. I just want to sit at his feet. I just want to be his son. I don't care what it looks like. God, I just want to seek him. What is God doing in your world? Spend time in his presence for yourself and for your role in this house and season. No matter if it's bad, you know, we just recently heard some sad news, you know, on Christmas Eve, someone that we knew very well from City, you know, Ash Cooper, who was a youth leader, incredible man of God, had three beautiful young children, little children, died of cancer on Christmas Eve. And I was so heartbroken, having known and led with him that year that I was at youth. And yet, as I looked for more info, I remember he did a thing during the year where he was interviewed about his cancer to bless other people. He wasn't about a, "God, if I do it, you'll..." No, he just wanted to bless people. He didn't let his circumstance disqualify from what God was going to do. There are people that will be in heaven because even in the valley of the shadow of death, he still used what he had to bring awareness of who God is. It doesn't have to be all good. Number two, follow where God leads. If you're unsure, ask. Come and see one of us, someone that you know. Can I encourage you, if you get a mentor, right? It's not just someone that's personable. This goes to if you want to be a mentor or you're looking for a mentor. Let the thing that attracts you to a person be the fruit on their life, not how well they speak. You've heard me say it before. Everyone's open to give feedback. I receive it 100%. But if the fruit is not evident in your life, how can you instruct on what you can't do well? And if the fruit is already on your life, you won't need to come and give feedback. I'll already be at your door. I'll already be going, "Hey, I want to learn how you do that. I want to know more." Step out and go slow if need be. Or stay put if the answer is no, but obey. Keep in step with what God is doing and don't try to fill in the blanks because it's all in God's time. And last, but certainly not least, sanctify yourself and be amazed at what God will do. You are sacred. You know how sacred you are? That Jesus endured the whipping. And it wasn't like these like little kids with like a towel. These were things that had nails attached to it that literally took out his flesh with every hit. Because you are sacred to him and you are worthy to him. So when you're told to sanctify, it's not pretend to be someone you're not. It's who he knew when he said, "It is finished. You are no longer slaves. You are set free." So when you sanctify, God's wonders come next. Each of you have the opportunity to be the vessel of his signs and wonders, but most importantly, the vessels of his grace. What we step into today will be reaped for generations to come. It's funny how I forgot to mention something earlier, and the Lord reminded even on that. Because some of you be like, "I don't know what the next steps are." You know, I spoke about Pierre before, and it's funny that as I mentioned generations, the prompting comes. You know, our kids are going on youth camp. Not our kids, they're not that old yet. 10 this year though. Maybe your next step might be, as Kim said, generosity. There are some people that can't go to camp because the parents can't afford it. We can sponsor. You can choose to sponsor someone. Doesn't need to be that today you get the revelation, next Sunday I've got you preaching. No, no, no. It could be something as simple as that. Where you've withheld, you can bless. For others, it might be sending that text message. Doesn't matter if the response that you get is like the same response I used to get telemarketing. It might simply be just a paradigm shift where I ask the question, why me? To start asking, why not me? A young shepherd boy looked at a giant and said, God will have this guy for breakfast. Why not me? Why can't I take him down? God's protected me from the lion and the bear. Might simply be a paradigm shift. I'm going a bit deeper here. It might be a simple paradigm shift of, that's just how our family is. Well, actually, no. Today, I have decided that from this day forward, this will not be the hallmarks of my family. Might simply be receiving grace. Yeah, you know what? What you did was pretty bad. But not bad enough that Jesus didn't die on the cross for you. I feel like, I don't know, I'm just staying on this. We're going to get the team up because we are going to worship. I'm going to do something, a prophetic declaration for those that feel stirred. I often talk about this with people. We read the stories in the Bible and we celebrate the heroes that they were, and that rightly so. But you got to understand that some of these people did some horrible things. And yet out of that, God brought the biggest blessings. And I feel to share this, it's a bit graphic, but I'm going to share it because I feel it's going to set some people free today. We often hear the story of Solomon, the wisest man, the wisest king to live the earth. He was literally birthed out of David's greatest sin. His father, to cover up what he did, because he had slept with a married woman and got her pregnant, rather than confront what he had done, sent her husband unwillingly to go and die to cover up his mistake. Literally, sent him to the front line to kill him. Now, I don't know what you've done, but that's pretty bad. And yet, out of that sin, out of repentance, born from the very woman whose husband was sent to die, the wisest king to live the earth was born. That's before Jesus. We have Jesus now. The point that I'm making is that no matter what your 2024 in your life has looked like, you do not need to live defined by your greatest mistake. But you can take the repentant heart and give it to God. Lord, I know I bring this shame, but what shame does, what you exchange shame is given identity, joy, grace, peace. And so we're going to sing Christ is Enough again. And I know for me, in that moment when I didn't want to get out of my seat, I did. I just, and it wasn't even a moment like where they called for it. I could care less what was happening around. I stepped out. And so if you've been stirred today, don't worry about what's happening around you. But as we sing this song, Christ is enough for each of us. And if you want to put that line in the sand moment, I will not be what has been up until this point. I have decided to follow Jesus. To get something you've never had, we need to be willing to do something you've never done. If it's just me at the altar, that's fine as well, because this is a prophetic declaration for my own life today. But if you want to come and join me while we're worshiping, the altar is going to be open. Come. Let God minister. It's not going to be about us getting the prayer team to come and lay hands, which we could do. But I believe that the Lord wants to minister. I believe that some of you are going to bring shame, judgment, and leave it here and come back set free. I believe that. I believe that you're not going to be the person that you've been told that you are.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.